Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We honor you in this moment. Every moment belongs to you. And so this one, as well as all the other moments, we just sanctify towards your name and towards your will. The Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you as a true and present force. Just to show us whatever you want us to see in this word. We can't see a thing unless you escort us into that thing. And so we bless you. We thank you. We receive it right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Somebody close the door for me. The Holy Ghost, if you honor the Holy Ghost, I'm going to give you a few things now. We're gonna be talking about the church and who we are as a church and our part that we play. The Holy Ghost is, a lot of times when I pray, I tell the Holy Ghost that I acknowledge you as a true and present force. He's not just somebody that I need when I need him. Amen. He's not just, the Holy Spirit is not your good luck charm. He's not just to make things go right just when you got a problem. But he's supposed to lead you in all things. You're supposed to acknowledge him in all your ways, in everything you do. So there should be there shouldn't be a decision that you don't acknowledge him in. Those decisions that you make on your own are the ones that get you in trouble. Those decisions that you make on your own are the ones that end up in lack. Those decisions that you make on your own are the ones that end up in just total confusion. Any confusion you got going on right now, Holy Ghost was not involved. All right, that's a quick one for you, okay? So I don't, when I say this, I'm not just looking for him when I get spiritual. Because I don't get spiritual, I am a spirit. You know, we're three parts, right? There's three parts. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. So that means my whole function, the main part of me, is the spirit. And so in order for me to really function like I was made to function, I've got to be led by the spirit. I not have leadings, certain leadings and certain things. No, everything must be led by the spirit. I don't pick my time. I don't pick and choose the time when I got time with him. All the time is his. All the time is his. He's always trying to show you something. Always trying to give you something fresh. It's just a matter of, are you paying attention? And so I know something about the Holy Ghost. If you are, there's a statement that's made, and you can open to Ephesians chapter 4. And I said it last week, I said it again. We're probably going to touch on this scripture almost every week. But there's a statement that's made just in regular things and in business and in just communication. And it said, if you are, you can get anything you want from anybody if you say things the right way. Amen. If you approach it the right way. Well, it's the same thing with the Holy Ghost. If you approach him properly, you get loads and loads of revelation. But I expect him. Everybody say expect. Expect. See, I expect him. I'm looking for him to say something. Okay. All right, we're talking about Church Unusual. Church Unusual. Everybody say Church Unusual. Church. Remember, say, I am the church.
I am the church.
Come on, say it again. Say, I am the church.
I am the church.
Come on, say it again. I am the church.
I am.
Remember, we're breaking old. Remember, we broke it down last week. We're breaking down old mindsets, but what we think the church is. There's a lot of man-made stuff in the modern church today, and that's why there's no power. Where man is involved, there's no power. Wherever there's man's hand, there's no power. All right? Unless man's hand has been anointed by the hand of the Holy Ghost or directed by the hand of the Holy Ghost, there'll be no power. I can 100% guarantee you that without the Holy Ghost, you won't have power. I can guarantee you that thing. And so, when I yield to the Holy Ghost and I'm looking for and I'm expecting, I always got my mind open to see what he's saying. Then, you know, sometimes he'll drop stuff off to you that's extraordinary. He'll drop something off to you about something that you've been reading forever. Mm-hmm. He'll drop something new off to you. Oh, don't think you got all that out of there. You can pick your favorite scripture. You ain't got it all out of there.
Right.
Amen. And so, but I just acknowledge you. Like we talk to him and say, you know, I just yield to you today. It don't mean I got to walk around and be up in the sky. It don't mean I got to be praying in tongues all day long. Because sometimes life doesn't afford that. Sometimes it doesn't, I don't even know if anybody in here could actually do that anyway. Pray from the first hour to the last hour of the day. Like all day long, I don't know if you got that in you. I don't even think God expect that of us. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But it's a reverence and a yielding and an expecting. At any moment, you can do whatever you want to do through me. Because I'm yielded. Everybody say I'm yielded.
Yes.
Now, this is church unusual. Now, you don't get, there's no, the church of today as a whole. And remember, I'm not specifically talking about my church or your church or just the building right now. I'm talking about the function of the church. Remember, we are. We are, right? Say we are.
We are.
All right, we are the church. But the functioning of the church has not been as supernatural as it should be. Hasn't been as unusual as it should be. It seems like everything else is unusual but the church. It seems like everything else is unpredictable but the church. It seems like you can predict what the church people are going to do. I can predict what they're going to do. Something going to come up here and go pray for 5 minutes and then that's it. Are they going to say a couple of scriptures over here? We already know the go-to scriptures. And it's everything normal. Everything regular. So now we have church normal. Church usual. As opposed to unusual. So there's a statement that says your perception is your everything. Your perception becomes your world. Your perception, how you perceive things, you know, becomes your world. There's some things, how you perceive things, how you take things in, how you've been taught to perceive how things are becomes your world. And so the way that I'm focused or the way that I'm aimed or the way that I'm aimed concerning the Holy Ghost determines what I'm going to get from him. Are y'all with me? Now everybody say perception. That's how I take me. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has the, just remember in preaching that the Holy Spirit has the best segues. Sometimes you just got to go and start. He knows where you want to go. Mm-hmm. Like he already know what he planned out. I know you got your notes, right? He already know where he want to go. He got the best. So to perception, everybody say perception.
Perception.
Now there's a perception. There's a perception that you have that's been built into you from childhood. And really quick, and I said this in my class. I learned something yesterday in a class, a leadership class I was teaching here at our church yesterday. But we know the scripture about Abraham in Genesis, and he says, "Get thee out from your kindred, and from your father's house, right, into a land that I will show thee." All right, right. He's telling Abraham, "You got to get out of here." All right. Now, I'll teach you something about the Bible. I know I'll teach you something about meditating and getting revelation from the Bible. When reading the Bible, it is a literal interpretation of what literally happened, but it's always something deeper. Listen to me. It's much more than when he said, "Get thee out from thy father's house." It was much more than leaving, you know, my father's house. When I came up, I was in Gazma. It's much more than leaving Gazma and moving to Gonzales. It's much more than that. It's much more deeper than just that moment. Although that's a good thing. The Holy Ghost will tell you to do that. It's a good thing. But it's much more deeper than that because he's telling you to leave more than just a physical location. So now when he's saying leave his father's house, your mindset on things have been built from your childhood and your upbringing. Your mindset about church has been built on your upbringing in the church. You know, they call us, soon as somebody gets saved, they call them babes, right? Baby Christians, right? Y'all done heard that before, right?
Yes, sir.
They call them, you know, but I'm talking about it. Some need milk, some need meat. And so there's a lot of training. So they call them babes. So from that time, they're discovering and defining what they believe the church is. It's just like a child. When a child comes into this world, those younger years, they're figuring out how things are supposed to go. They're figuring out how to talk. Mama got an accent, baby got an accent.
Right?
Mama start talking reckless, baby start talking reckless. You see a little girl, the attitude, she probably got that from. You get it? You see a little boy doing a certain thing, he got that from. He picked that up.
Right.
You know, most people be like, "Man, you need to pray for these children because they just, look at their attitude." I say, hey, your offspring is a direct result of you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever forget that. So, but there's a training. There's a social mindset that like there's you understand what you understand about life by upbringing that you had. Are y'all with me? So now he tells Abraham, leave your father's house. In other words, he's saying, leave your father's mindset. Leave. What I need you to do is, the way you learned it ain't going to make you the father of nations. The way you learned it and the way you picked it up so far, it will not afford you or allow you to be as big as I want you to be. Mm-hmm. So I need you to leave that. I need you to leave your father's house. I need you to leave your father's way of thinking. I need you to leave, you know, sometimes I know there's people that have come to Word of Life that came from another church, right? Or there's people that's come to Word of Life that grew up in a traditional family church, right? And I'm just speaking of Word of Life right now. Well, when you get the Word of Life, it's time to leave what you thought you knew.
That's right.
Because if you don't leave it, you're going to get left. You get it? If you don't leave who's at a traditional upbringing? Like come on. Just a traditional upbringing, and there ain't no revelation. Like it's a traditional upbringing, right? Baps, right? It's just a traditional upbringing, and if you try to go into the new with the old skin, right? If you try to go into the new with the old skin, it's gonna bust you. They're talking about them old bottles gonna burst, and so I have to leave. I have to leave that old mindset. I have to leave that understanding. I have to leave that stuff. Even right now in the apostolic, you know, I grew up, let me speak for myself, I grew up word of faith. Word of faith, like word of faith. I grew up like that. Like I was a little bit at the end of the Baptist, but I grew up word of faith. So I grew up there. But even in the next level stuff, I got to leave some of that.
Right.
I've got to graduate. Can't stay in high school forever, y'all. Huh? You can't stay. I know you like 12th grade, but you can't stay there. I know that was your wonder year. You cannot stay there forever. We've got to graduate and make progress. And so now I've got to leave my mindset. Remember last week we were talking about just breaking down all the stigmas about church. We have to leave those things. Listen, leaving ain't easy. Amen. Leaving ain't easy. Separating from that mindset is not the easiest thing to do. It's a little bit more than just saying, okay, I'm going to separate myself from that mindset. No, because that stuff has been ingrained in you. So because that's been ingrained in you, now it's going to take my son, you are clean through my word. We thought they were talking about sin. But, you know, anything that's not in the progressive nature of God is sin. So now if I'm not being what I'm supposed to be, then I'm being in disobedience. All right, listen to me. So now I need the word of God and the Holy Spirit to wash me clean of that old father's house thinking. So you're not gonna know church unusual unless you let the Holy Spirit take this word and start washing you with it in the freshness of who he is in order for you to have a clean understanding. Now there's a lot of stuff y'all holding on to. I'll pray. In the name of Jesus, and Lord, please help me be able to play my part in doing this with us, that by the time we leave out this class, we've left this old way of church.
Amen.
There's an old way of church. We judgmental. We murderous. We kill our wounded. Amen. Come on. I know it's quiet, but we do that. Y'all know it's a whole, right? We kill our wounded. We don't expect many miracles because we're going through the motions on Sunday. Church start at 10. If we normally get out around 12, when 12 get here, now we're looking at the watch. Come on, that's old. We was in church yesterday till almost 2 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock. I mean, we had church after church. We had 3 altar calls yesterday. I've never seen that before.
Amen.
We had 3 altar calls. No, altar call. And we, you know how we do it the normal way. You know, God bless the name of Jesus. You pray for the group right there. And then you tell them, see that man turn, you know, all right. Turn to your right. See that man with the Bible? Y'all go with him. Woo! Everybody clapping, right? Altar call over. So now it's time to do whatever's next or we dismiss.
Amen.
Right? That's usual church. No, they got another altar call. He's going to open it back up for those who was supposed to come and didn't come. I've never seen that before in my life. And people just started. And then we pray for them. Send them on back. Now we all on the edge now. So now watch this. Because we're on a little edge, and because things are a little different, that's what I love about Apostle. Because things are a little different, Now we all cracked open now because we don't know where to go. You playing, when they playing ball, they playing ball sometimes, the best plays be the busted ones. The one that you see on SportsCenter be the one that messed up. You got the others that, but it'll be the one that messed, that broken up play, where ain't nobody know where to go, and they just, somebody died, somebody and threw it 50 yards down the field. That's the one you like. That's the one you keep replaying. Who are we looking for? All right? Then so now we on a second, we on a second altar call, and people, so we don't really know. We know the, you know, we about to go back into the same old, but we don't really know what's going on right now. And here we go now, we got a third one. Then he start calling, then he called people, then he start ministering to people. And before you know it, we got church after church, so we didn't turn online and gone off now. But we got church after church, and people getting ministered to, all of them down the altar. It's church unusual.
Amen.
Church unusual. See, what I love about, we'll read this in a minute, but I love about the apostolic, and I love about the apostle, and I love about the apostolic and the flow is that you never know what's going to happen. I've watched him over years. Now, we have a... We have a somewhat of a lineup. You remember we used to have the programs on Sunday mornings? And y'all ever been to a church that used to have the programs? Mm-hmm. Amen. Come on, y'all. Y'all ain't like, I know y'all want to talk about it until y'all, there's the program. And they say, this is going to happen. So they're going to say this right here. Right. Right. Well, we got some, you know, I can tell you how our service is like. We're going to open up at 10. Really at 9:50 the music starts. 9:55, they start singing. Supposed to be. If they don't start singing at that time, I'm coming out the back with my hand in there. What's wrong? All right. 10 o'clock, we sing for 15, 20 minutes, maybe, depending on the flow. And then, you know, here comes, you know, you pick it. Leroy Jr. or Montrell. I'm serious. And we're going to pray. We'll see how it's going to go. It's not the same all the time, but we're going to pray. You know how it's got to go. We're going to pray. Then we're going to welcome the people. Then we're going in to the special music. Special music might get 1 to 2 songs. Then the man of God or whoever's speaking that day is going to come up, minister the word for about an hour to 45, for 45 minutes an hour, hour 15, depending on the revelation. You're going to do the altar call. We're going to pick up the offering. And then we're going to the house. 12:30, we out of here. Right? And so there's nothing wrong with making a plan. The Bible talks about many of the plans of a man. Man got a lot of plans. The key is you can make the plan, but don't be stuck to the plan.
Right.
I'll see a apostle come in, he'll walk up. I've seen it all kind of different ways. I've seen him walk up from jump. All right, y'all go sit down. I'm about to preach right now. That's off your toes. Now it's like, all right, I don't know what's going to happen. That gives me an expectation. It puts me in an uncomfortable, wow. Puts me in an church unusual is uncomfortable. If you come in, you comfortable all the time, don't expect no supernatural. If you go to the church and you know exactly, there's some church services, a church that I've seen that, you know, they will not change. Mm-hmm. Nothing for nothing.
Right.
You can mark your clock at 10:35. He getting up, he about to give his message. Well, if that's the case, who's in control? Do God deal with time or not? God is a God of time. No, he's a God of timing, but is it easy? Do he deal with time? Do you really care about your 10:30? No, he don't. Right? And so now is that type of flow. So I gotta, let me go back. Now I got to, I love the apostolic. Now I got to leave my father's, I got to leave my way of thinking. I got to leave how I figure church is supposed to be. When I can leave there, then he told him, he said, into a land I'm going to show you. Now, he didn't say, this is where the land is. He said, I'm going to show it to you. Which gives a connotation that you got to be led.
That's right.
Which gives a connotation that I have to lead you into that. Y'all get it?
Mm-hmm.
And so now with anything unusual, with the church being unusual, most of the time you just won't know. That's a little nerve-wracking, ain't it? that's a little, it can be a little nerve wracking for you that you don't know where it's going to go. But truth of the matter is, you're not in control. Come on, say, I'm not in control. Come on, say it again, I'm not in control. Come on, say it again, I'm not in control. Now, understand this, you're just not about church Sunday morning, Wednesday night, or Monday night, not just those Bible study, I'm saying you're not in control, but you're not in control ever. All right, who's the church?
We are the church.
Huh? So you're the church. So where you went today? The church went there. All right. But you ain't in control, so that means wherever that was, you weren't in control of that either. Now, if you controlled the whole thing, that's why you didn't see anything miraculous today. You got to leave that old way of thinking. I found out something. I do a little reading. Let me just give you the points that I know he gave me, and then we'll move from there. Holy Spirit, you're in control. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are. Wherewith ye are. Come on, y'all, look at it. Wherewith ye are called. Now, I highlighted call, and I realized something about a calling. Let's not get so deep to think you'd be called to be a preacher or whatever, and it could be that. But a lot of times, the calling works another way. Sometimes the calling may not be a calling, but sometimes a calling, watch this, why this powerful. Sometimes a calling can be an opportunity. All right? There's some people's names that were called here to do different things here at the ministry, at Word Life, and different leaders, and they may not have been very likely. But if you call me, the same God that called me, the same God that can keep me. And the same God that called me prepares me for the calling. You ask Apostle all day long, he said, I wasn't a caliber person for this type of situation. He should have used somebody else, right? But because God will open up an opportunity and then call your name and pull you into the opportunity, and it'll give you your calling. Many times we have to break. Everybody say break it down. Come on, say it again. Break it down. You don't know a lot. And I know you know that, but you don't really know that sometimes. You don't really know a lot. Even if you know a lot of scripture, you still don't know a lot. Like our mindset is like pellets compared to the mindset of God, and I think I'm doing the mindset of God in just by saying I was even a pellet compared to it. Like is dust. Like our mindset is nowhere close to what His intention is. All right. So if I would. Let me proceed by this. If I would leave my way of thinking and meditate with His way of thinking in mind, then I receive more. It's powerful. Now listen to me. If I approach the Word of God outside of my thinking, right, and go with his thought process in mind, He'll give me something a little deeper than what I thought it was mean. I'm going to show you something tonight about that. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, bearing one another in love. Oh, lowliness, meekness. In other words, I'm not going in thinking that I know anything. The best way to always receive is to always be under. The best way to always receive is to always have yourself in a submitted position. I don't care what you've done. I remember Apostle telling me this. I used to go, and I might have heard this before. I used to go, and we'd be singing in church, and the anointing hit, and the power hit, and we prayed, and that's what we wanted. So the anointing hit while we're singing, and just people get blessed. And so at one service I sang years ago, and people all over the floor. I mean, people just, like, church shut down. Nobody even going to preach. We just going to wallow in the Spirit. Well, that's what you're looking for, ain't it? Right? And we want to look for the move, right? Then we get out, we sit at the table, he says, now, see, son, what you need to do is you need to increase your anointing a little bit. I'm just holding my face like that. I'm smiling. And you know your face, you know your lips be shaking. You're like, what you mean? You mean I gotta go deeper than that? You know what I'm saying? Like, where else we gonna go? It's my, all right, what? But he said, nah, you're doing okay. But your anointing not deep enough yet. That, this is not years ago. He told me that yesterday. We walking down the hall. I'll be sharing the personal stuff with you because I want you to understand what's going on. I'm walking down the hall. We walking down the hall. He said, now see, he said, now sons, he talking to me, Leroy Jr. Down there. He said, now y'all have some revelation. He said, but you need to get deeper in the spirit. That's powerful. To push you to a place. So now, no matter who you think you are, you know, I'm Dr. Montrell. You get it? I'm posing for my picture. I'm doctor. What am I about? I'm posing. I'm doctor. I'm reverend. I've been preaching for, you know, all these years now. You know what I'm saying? I've been preaching 15 years, and I didn't praise and worship, and we didn't brought the house down, and I didn't, you know, ain't got no I in church. You spell it out. Spell it out. Ain't no eyes. I ain't done nothing. This is when you thought you were somebody. That's when you get knocked down. But if I stay down, you see what I'm saying? If I stay down, I ain't got to get down. If I stay down, then I'm always in a position of reception. Now, what happens is what you receive exalts you. Listen to me. Listen to me as church. Listen to me. There had to be a burial before there was a resurrection. There had to be a going down in the depths before there was a name above all names. Jesus didn't have the name above all names because he was just because he was God's son.
Right.
There was a if he got to go under, what you think you got to do? If he got to submit himself, what do you think?
Amen.
See, he's the goal. See, Jesus is the goal. Jesus is the goal and the mole. He's the one. You look at Jesus, you see the church. The whole church is in him. I'm gonna say it quick. All right. And definitely keep the unity of the bond, the spirit of the bond of the peace. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. Remember that one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Then about to skip verse 9 and 10 because it is so difficult to read all the time. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now watch this. Till we all come into come in the, what's that word?
Unity.
What does it mean to be, what is unity?
Oneness,
okay. Oneness, all right. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. This last line, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the government, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, the government is going to be working on us until we've come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he's going to be working on us until we as a unit measure up to what Jesus did.
Yes,
and who he is.
Amen.
Understand that? That's a powerful line. Measure stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may what? Say it louder.
Grow up
into him. Not just grow up. Grow up. Him, who is him we talking about? That we grow up into him in how many things? Which is the head, even Christ. So now the issue is pushing us towards growing up like Christ. It's pushing us towards being like Christ. You want to find the church, find Jesus, and that's church. We can have church right there. He's pushing us until we measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I'll show you something the Holy Ghost told me earlier. First of all, let me give you this. I want to give you this so I won't forget this. It may be side journey, but it may be the same thing. The Holy Spirit told me this. He said, He said, when you stop trying to be what you're not, you'll end up being more than you are. Now, that might not be deep enough for you to write, but I'll just implore you to go ahead and write that down, because your mind's not going to keep that on your own. You stop trying to be what you ain't. Stop trying to be what you aren't. Let me be English correct. If you stop trying to be what you're not, then you end up being more than what you are. You get it? The Lord showed me something. He said, and then I'm going to go here. He said, you know, your job as a minister is to pass it out. He said, your job is really not even to, he said, it's not your job to enforce it. He's not your job to take it home.
Right.
Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. But how much we take on our shoulders because we want to bring deliverance.
Right.
I mean, it's not even your job to enforce it. When the prayers are said, it's not even your job to bring it home, because we got ministering angels, ministering spirits to do those things. Do you see how simple our job is? But if you keep trying to be something that you're not, you'll never be more than what you are. Stay in your lane. Everybody say, stay in your lane. Come on, say, stay in your lane. Come on, say it again. Come on, say, stay in your lane. So when I stay in my lane is to seek God, receive from him, and be obedient, and be consistent in that. That's it. That's church, y'all. That's church. Everybody say church. Come on, say it again, church. So that's it. So now, when I be obedient, it is his responsibility. That's his people. Whenever you minister to somebody, that's his people. They're not yours. It's not your people. You couldn't save a gnat.
Right.
Your blood ain't good enough to save a gnat.
That's right.
You get it?
Yes, sir.
But Christ in me.
Yes.
It is God working in you, both to will and to do. Now, when I open up and let him work through me, then some power can go through it. But all I got to do is the same thing, though. So stop trying to be the deliverer and that. No, your job is to pass it out. Say, I'm a minister. You're in ministry school. My job is to pass it out. He's the enforcer. Get it? But I grow up in him in all things. And it says, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Lord started showing me something tonight. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. We approach the word from our father's house mindset. Sometimes our physical father's house or our lower thinking mindset is when I speak of that, what they say, Abraham, this is perfect. They say Abraham, his name was Abram before. Well, Abram meant exalted father. That's pretty good, ain't it? Yeah, but when it's Abraham, they said it. That's the way they said it in the the Hebrews. The sound had a certain connotation to it. It meant he was the father of nations. That's another ball game now. And we go from just being exalted father to the father of nations. Now, I'm gonna teach you something. If you meditate from a self perspective, you get a self revelation. All right, and that one may work with you later on. If you meditate and you think that this all is about you, right? And you think that it's a low thinking. It's still my father's house thinking. Then the greater revelation of what he's trying to show us, we won't see it because we're meditating from a selfish perspective. You know, now our self-revelation is better than no revelation, right? But it ain't God's perfect will. You know, it's good, acceptable, but then there's the... See what God, can I tell you something about God? See what God does is God loves us. He loves us so much more than we can understand. So because he loves us, even in our shortcoming, or even in us not approaching him like we should, or not going like we should, he'll still give us a bone. Mm-hmm. He'll still drop a little anointing. I'll tell you, although you could have had the roof off, waves of flooding anointing, but I got to give you something because I love you. You get me? But just think about if you approach properly. And he showed me something. Leaving your father's house, right? And this scripture right here. Now I'm gonna read through. What time is class in? Troy? All right, great. And Ephesians 5, y'all read this and you start off and he's talking about different things. And verse 22 says, "Why submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands everything. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious, not have a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as what? Your own bodies." Now hold on. Now get off of your wedding class. Get off your marriage seminar right now. In your head. Come on. Get off your marriage seminar. It's not a marriage seminar scripture. I'm gonna take it deeper. It'll help you. It'll help your marriage, but you know your marriage ain't the point of all things. All right, so I'm gonna take you a little deeper. Now if you go a little deeper, here's how it goes. If you dig a little deeper, then you yield more rain, which will cover everything that you deal with. Sometimes you can stop surface. And so you can just think this is a marriage scripture. And then you don't get covered with the whole thing because you don't know all of what he's talking about. So the men love the wives of their own body. He loves his life, loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of the body of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man... Didn't we just talk about leaving the father just now? Were we just talking about leaving the father's house just now? The man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. This is powerful right now. What did the next line say? And they two shall be what? So they two shall be one. I mean, ain't no more us. One, all right? Now we keep, just get off the surface real quick. The two shall be one flesh. You start giving instructions. The two shall be one flesh. The two shall come into covenant and become one. So we don't see y'all no more. We see you. Verse 32, this is a great mystery. You know it's a great mystery. How many of y'all married? One flesh though, right? Like you where you at and they where they at. How is that? You get it, right? It's still a great mystery, all right? Right. But I speak. Read that line. What does it say? But I speak what? Say it again.
I speak concerning Christ.
So what I'm saying is, what I'm talking to you about, then you go read to the beginning of chapter 5, but what I'm talking to you, I'm speaking to you concerning Christ and the church. I have to talk about these things because those are the things that matter to you. And you really can't get no understanding because I gotta get the understanding with the things that you think you understand.
Yes, sir.
The things that are important to you, I got to talk about those to get you to understand what's really going on. So now when he's talking about this, even when he go back further talking about fornication and adultery and all these different things, he's not literally, listen, yes, literally you shouldn't fornicate. Yes, literally you shouldn't commit adultery. That's true. But it's much bigger than you. You know, like the church just ain't you. Like you by yourself. The church is it's a bigger situation, right? But when he's saying something, it's bigger than just your individual sins. So what he's saying is, this power. He's talking concerning Christ and the church. So he's saying that wives, because we're the bridegroom, you submit yourself to your husbands as unto the Lord. We should be staying submitted to Jesus as the husbandman. There should be no moves. We don't have to worry about the husbands love your wife or Christ love the church. We already know Christ love the church because he gave his life. Have to worry about that part. You get me? But we have to be concerned about the submission. Are y'all with me? About the submission. Even when he go back talking about fornicating. What he said, you know, what church fornication is? You're having sex for marriage, right? Right? What he's saying is, don't start nothing without starting with me first. Y'all hear that?
Yes, sir.
Don't start nothing without starting with me first. It's much deeper than your individual thing. They got people committing, I heard a pastor say this about spiritual adultery. There's people committing spiritual fornication every day because they're starting stuff without starting with God. And so now you end up with and I hate these terms, but you understand what I'm saying when I say this, the illegitimate baby. The fatherless child. The baby, the Ishmael, that didn't come in covenant. Not the Isaac. God promised the Isaac.
Right, right.
But you got an Ishmael because you started something. Now, all right, so we started with God. So I acknowledge him in all my ways. So let's say in this situation, I started with him. But you ever heard the statement? I said it. I say it all the time, but it's an old statement. You dance with the one that brung you. Right? That means when you get to homecoming prom, whatever, you came here with me. Can I dance? Ain't no dance when you came here. We got the same cologne. I'm paying. I bought your ticket to this. My guess, you're going to dance with the one who brung you, or there's going to be some problems up there. But so let's say we started with God. So we didn't came in covenant, and we started to work with God, right? But if I started with God, but then I step out, adultery, you're stepping out on them, right? If I step out to do something that is meant for covenant, right? If I try to make, oh, Lord have mercy. If I try to make progress or birth, which is made for covenant, but I try to go another way to do it, it's spiritual adultery.
Wow.
Y'all read chapter 5. I ain't got time to go into that much. Read chapter 5 and stop reading it from, get out. All right, no marriage seminar, no pre-marriage seminar. Read it from us and Jesus. All right, because it's much deeper than that. Now, if you go much deeper, it'll cover that part of your life. Your marriage and all that. Yeah, it'll cover all that. But you got to go much deeper. If you stay surface, you'll never reach the deep well. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So now what he's saying is, I'm to leave my father and my mother's house and join to Christ and become one. And now we're the church. That's holy matrimony. Are y'all understanding that? So I'll work for this week. Yeah, I ain't got no work for this week. This week, you take your time and you break yourself down. Start approaching the Word of God differently. Start approaching church processes differently. Remember, you are the church. You're going to have service tonight when you leave here. You got service tomorrow morning. The church service? Yeah, you got service tomorrow morning wherever you go.
Right.
What's your praise and worship sound like? What's your altar call going to be tomorrow? Y'all get it?
Yes,
but break it down. Now remember, I'm going to say this again. Remember when you meditate from a selfish perspective, you're going to get a selfish revelation and you never get the deeper thing. But if I meditate and realize that this thing is a whole lot bigger than me and what I want and what I'm designing, all these different things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and what happens?
All these things shall be added.
All these things, that's what they're saying right there. You stop seeking all these things and seek my deeper meaning in this about the bigger picture. Because you know it's about the bigger picture, right? The hardest thing we have with people, and I'm gone, the hardest thing we got with people and with church people is that we really, well, people in general, that we really think this is about us. You know, and it's hard to not think that when I know that he died for me, He did it just for me. He did. He did it just for me, but get over yourself. He did it just for me, but get over yourself. He done did it for me already. All right, now he's trying to do it through me. You get it? Yes. But if we never leave that selfish mindset, he'll never be able to work through us because it's going to stop with us. Y'all get that? Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Yeah.